Great job. I wish I could sing, frankly. I cannot. I will not be your new worship director. Well, it's my pleasure to come back to Oakwood. I say come back, I'm here every Sunday, but to speak again. It's been some time since I spoke before. That's been a note of concern for some of us. And I think after today's message, it will be some time once again. Time will tell. You'll notice in your worship programs that there is no outline of points for today's message, nor will there be any slides on the screens covering the points of my message. Because I don't believe in coddling people, my friends. You're all intelligent people. I know most of you. Now, yes or no, are you going to be able to follow what I say and understand what's being said and apply it without having the slides and without the notes? Tell me yes or no.
Yes.
Of course.
Or no.
Yes. Good point. I know you can do it. And the main reason for this is that I want to give the office staff a break. These women are work like dogs. And they need a break. So Martha and Melanie, you're welcome. And the slide people, it's grueling. If you miss a slide, your name is mud. People know who you are. So that won't be a problem this morning. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. This is going to be a difficult one. It is the topic of divorce. Divorce is an awful, painful, gut-wrenching, traumatic, life-changing experience, isn't it? Most of us in this room have been impacted by divorce, haven't we? Chances are very good that someone close to you has gotten divorced and you were caught in the fallout. Your parents got divorced. Your grandparents got divorced. A close friend got divorced. A brother or sister got divorced. One of your kids got divorced. A family friend got divorced. Maybe you got divorced. You know how God feels about divorce? Let's take a look at the Bible, always the best place to go. Malachi 2:16. Now I'm going to read some verses really quickly here. I talk fast and I work fast, as you can tell. If you can't keep up, that's your problem, not mine. So, although Lorraine is here and Lorraine has her Bible, I know it. I will wait for Lorraine to reach Malachi 2:16. No, actually, I won't. I tried. All right, Malachi 2:16. Now, this is pretty clear. I'm in Genesis. That's not going to work. That's my next verse. Malachi 2:16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Any questions? You know why God hates divorce? Because it breaks a sacred relationship, a covenant, and God takes that very seriously. God created marriage. Look at Genesis 2:24. Society had nothing to do with it. It benefits society, but it's a godly institution. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. That's a sacred relationship instituted by God himself. Marriage is also the very picture of Christ's relationship to the church. Look at Ephesians 5:25. It doesn't get any more sacred than this. To make this comparison, God sending us a message. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25 says, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. Just wow. It is the most important human relationship. It is, in fact, a sacred relationship. I'm a Christian psychologist who specializes in marital therapy. It's my business, it's my ministry to fight divorce. Been doing it now for over 30 years. My dad, Bill Clark's been doing it a lot longer than that. I'm asking you today to join me in fighting divorce. If you're a Christian, if you have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's also your job to fight divorce. Now, one of the main ways we can fight divorce is by speaking truth to those spouses who want out of their marriages. You're going to come across a struggling couple in your workplace, in your family, in your home, maybe in your home directly. Classic scenario, one spouse wants out of the marriage, one spouse wants to save it. The spouse who wants out will give you a series of lame, sinful excuses for ending the marriage. These excuses are nowhere near a biblical reason to get divorced. Now, there are times when divorce cannot be avoided. Sometimes you are divorced, and there are biblical reasons for divorce. I'm talking about spouses who want out of a marriage for non-biblical reasons, and that's easily 90% in my experience, Christians as well as non-Christians. Your job and my job is to speak truth to these spouses, confront their excuses, and speak truth to them. Now, when you speak truth to these people, and it's not easy to do to these people, you're doing three very important things. Number one, you are following the Bible by confronting the sinner. Matthew 18:15-17 makes this very clear. In fact, everywhere sin is mentioned in the Bible, it is to be confronted. There's no guarantee the person will change their ways. God doesn't worry about that. He worries about you doing your job. The second thing you can do, and it's very important, and it's by scripture, is you might just, by speaking the truth to this person in a firm way, an assertive way, you might just turn that sinner from their sin. You might save the marriage. No one else is telling that person the truth. I guarantee you that. You know what happens when a person wants out of a relationship, out of a marriage, for non-biblical reasons? They surround themselves with a bunch of idiots who encourage them to get divorced. So they're not going to hear anything about, maybe you're wrong, maybe this isn't a good idea, maybe you should try to save the marriage. No. You may be the only one with the guts to say something truthful. The third thing you're doing, which is very important and also biblical, is you are supporting and empowering the spouse who's trying to save their marriage. Some of you have been in this situation, haven't you? Desperate to save your marriage. Your spouse wants out. You can't stop a person. No fault state. Thanks a lot. I'm trying to save my marriage. You're desperate for someone, anybody, a pastor, a friend, a fellow church person, a neighbor, someone who knows Jesus, to stand up and speak truth to your crazy spouse, and maybe you'll be supported, and maybe they'll change their mind. Hard to find people like that. The list of gutless wonders in the Christian world is way too stinking long. And I'm trying to change that this morning. So, when you're faced with a spouse who wants out of a marriage for bogus reasons, don't take the wimpy approach. So many Christians do. Nice, sweet, kind people. I'm not that, as you can tell, edgy when I'm in the office. Don't take that approach. Well, these things just happen. No, they don't just happen. People who sin make things happen. Don't be nice, don't be neutral, don't be understanding. They'll think at the end of your conversation, which may last just 2 minutes of the water cooler, or over the phone, that you're okay with their divorce. That's what they want to hear. You got to make it clear you're not okay with their divorce. Now you're thinking, oh, Dave, look, if I talk this way, they'll be offended. Yeah, they will be. So what? You actually want them to be offended. When you are offensive, that gets someone's attention. And if it's for biblical reasons, God's good with that. You want offensive? Jesus Christ comes to mind. Paul made this clear last week. He was killed because he was so offensive. He said, I'm the only way to God. You are not going to heaven. You can't know my Father unless you know me. That's pretty offensive. And they killed him for it. No one's going to kill you, all right, if you take this stand, unlike the persecuted church. But you know what? God wants you to take a stand. But you're also wondering, look, okay, Dave, but how? How can I confront the sinning spouse? I mean, how do I do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to show you exactly how this morning. I'm going to cover now the top 10 lame excuses to end a marriage. I hold them in my hand. You might say, well, what makes these the top 10 lame excuses? Because I said so. I'm the doctor here, right? It's funny, when William Clark, my son, who's now 20, hard to believe, was 3 or 4 years old, we'd all be sitting in the family room with the three girls and Sandy and I would say something to small William that he didn't like to hear, and clean your room or some kind of disobedience. And he would walk out of the room muttering, well, he calls himself Dr. David Clark. And I would turn to Sandy and say, well, but I am a doctor. And she said, yeah, but not a real doctor. That didn't help my cause. Anyway. But these are the top 10. After 30 years, I should know the top 10. Now, my dad, Bill Clark, and I collaborate on this, but this is the list we have. Now, I'm going to go over the stupid excuse. And I say they're stupid because they're stupid, and because when we sin, we're all stupid. And then I'm going to give my response. And I want you to practice in your own minds thinking about giving a response similar to mine. It won't be the same thing, because you're probably a normal person, but I'm going to say what I would say in my office. And I want you to think about yourself saying these same things. I title this Speaking Truth to Powerful Stupidity. Stupid excuse number one. And again, all 10 of these are culturally approved. Culture says, yeah, any one of these will do. God says, no. Stupid excuse number one, I don't love you anymore. Ever hear that from somebody? All the time, culturally. That just says it all. Well, that's it then. No, it's not. My response is this, which now could be your response. Wow, poof, your love just disappeared one day? It's gone because you stopped feeding and caring for it and nurturing it over time. Your spouse did contribute to this tragedy, but so did you. Tell me now what you did in your marriage to kill your love for your spouse. Oh, that's not a popular statement, is it? Are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Love just doesn't disappear. You do things to kill it. And I want the person to start thinking, what did you do to kill that love? And the next thing that I would do clinically is say, well, okay, you killed it this way, and your spouse was involved too, but you're the one that wants out. We can turn this whole thing around. We start doing the right things before God, he'll bring it back. Second excuse, stupid excuse number two, classic. Culture loves this one. I never loved you. They go all the way back. Liar. And they're about to be called on it. They're in my office. They're going to hear it. My response is baloney. I'll say this right in front of the spouse who's sitting there too. I'll say, baloney, you did so love your spouse. That's why you got married. You didn't have an arranged marriage, did you? Funny, I was sitting with an Indian couple one day. Yes, you see where this is going. And from India, and the man was, of course, Indian, so was she, and they had an arranged marriage, and he wanted out of the marriage. I said, well, you didn't have an arranged marriage, did you? Not realizing. And they looked at me and said, well, yes, we did have an arranged marriage. But being light on my feet, I said, you know what? Even better. Don't you think God, even with an arranged marriage, didn't even know each other before the wedding day? Are you kidding me? Even in that circumstance, God is bigger than that, and he can save your marriage. It was a nice segue. Anyway. God doesn't care if he had an arranged marriage or not. He doesn't care if you're dumb enough to marry somebody without loving them in the first place, and people are dumb enough. Once you're married, my friends, you've crossed the line, you're married. Now God takes an interest. You can break up without being married all day long. God doesn't really care that much. But when you're married, that seems harsh. It's going to be wounding. You'll move on. But you know what? When it's a marriage, it's a different story. I continue with my response to this person. You are attempting to rewrite history now to justify divorce. Even if you're telling the truth, don't you think God can change your heart and give you back love for your spouse? Well, of course he can. When you went out of a marriage for non-biblical reasons, you think God can handle everything but your marriage because you've made that decision. You better be awfully sure God is releasing you from a marriage, and he'll only do that for very few reasons. Stupid excuse number three, and this follows from number two. You've heard this too. I felt pressured to marry you. Oh yeah, really? Here's Dave Clark's response. It was awful, wasn't it? Being tied up, drugged, and dragged to the altar must have been traumatic. I'll say this. Show me the wedding picture of you with the shotgun to your head. And when the day comes, when I see such a picture, I'll say, it doesn't make any difference. But you're married now. But no, but that doesn't happen. You're in love and you get married. That's why I say to him, you got married because you were in love and you wanted to get married. If you choose divorce, you are going to feel some real pressure from God in whose presence you swore never to forsake this person. Harsh. Seems harsh. It's just the truth. And people need to hear it. Stupid excuse number four. Culture loves this one because it's all about me. I need to find myself. Yeah, why does finding yourself mean leaving me and the kids, you bonehead? That should be the response. Or something similar. Here's what I say about this. Let me see if I can help you. You're married. You have kids. You have responsibilities. That's you. I've just helped you find yourself. That will be $160. Thank you. They look at me like I'm crazy, like I've got three heads. They got the three heads and they're all dumb. Please. I continue. If you leave your marriage based on this ridiculous excuse, you'll find yourself in sin and misery. God wants you to work on your individual issues and save your marriage. If you read the Bible, that's what he'll say every time. No exceptions. Stupid excuse number five. Here's a classic. They say this, they don't mean it, but it's culturally approved, and it sounds nice, letting the person down easy. It's not you, it's me. Oh yeah, that's actually true, and I go after that like a hound after meat. I will say, now that makes sense. It is you. You are a mess, and you're not thinking clearly or rationally. Let's work on what's wrong with you before you ruin your whole life and severely damage those who love and need you. Yeah, that's what needs to be said. They don't think it's really them. That's just pattern that they're giving. They think they're fine. They think the person they're leaving is crazy or stupid or wrong for them. But the fact is, if they say that, you can go with that. Yeah, you're messed up. You need help. Stupid excuse number six. Oh, culturally approved big time. I'm having a midlife crisis. Oh, yeah. Well, okay then, I'm sorry. There's the door. I can't do anything for you. Wrong. My response could be your response with maybe some slight changes based on your personality. Well, then I guess you can't help it. Your midlife crisis is your free ticket to all these sinful, destructive actions. See, that's what they're saying. I get to do whatever I want because I'm having a midlife crisis. Nowhere in the Bible is that a caveat for sin. Of course, nothing is. Unless you're having a midlife crisis, don't do these things. You won't find that in the Bible. don't do them because they're sinful. I would continue in this case, you can, if you choose, see, life is a choice. Choices, if you choose, work through your personal issues without damaging your spouse and ruining your marriage and your life. If you, and here's the beauty of it, if you think you're in a crisis now, just wait until after you divorce your spouse. God's gonna give you a whopper of a crisis to bring you back to your senses and back to him, especially if it's a believer. They don't wanna hear that, but that's not a popularity contest. Have you found that being a Christian, it makes you super popular? If that's the case, you're doing something wrong. Because truth has to be told. And you're just speaking God's truth in your own way. Stupid excuse number 7, moving along here. Oh, I love this one. Culture loves this, applauds it, stands up. God wants me to be happy. I've heard this from people who say they know Jesus Christ. God wants me to be happy. Therefore, I'm leaving because I'm not happy. My response is very simple. So should yours be. No, he doesn't. Very simple. Show me in the Bible where it states that there is pleasure, or that God wants you to be happy. The Bible states that there is pleasure in sin, and they are sinning by doing this. But the sad truth is that it passes away quickly. What God wants, I'll tell you what God wants. What God wants is for you to obey him and work on your marriage. He promises that will bring you joy, which is a lot better than happiness. Ironically, if you get a divorce for unbiblical reasons, which you're on the way to now, you will be the opposite of happy. No one breaks God's laws and gets away with it. Oh, sledgehammer to the head. Dave Clark style of therapy. There's never someone that leaves my office wondering, what did Dave mean? It was so confusing in there. Never. People often, and Sandy works for me now, last 3 years. She works the front desk. It's a great privilege for her. Anyway, so she's out there. I love having her there. And so, of course, she's out in the lobby, and if somebody's, I'll say these things to people, and it's usually the guy, could be the woman, they will just be furious. They don't want to take it. I'm leaving. Who's got the checkbook is what I ask before they leave. But anyway, who's got the card? They will slam out of my office. They'll slam my maid door. They'll slam the privacy door. They'll slam the back door of the office, and they'll slam their car door. 4 slams. Bring it on, B. Because somebody had to tell the truth. If you coddle these people, you lose. And they think that you're fine with what they're doing. Uh-uh. Stupid excuse number 8 makes me the angriest of all. Again, culture loves this. You see it in every newspaper every day. It's and celebrities talking, people are getting divorced. They say it and no one ever questions them because the media is stupid too. It's better for the kids because our bad marriage is hurting them. Really? No, I don't think so. Here's my response. A bad marriage is better than no marriage at all, and in most cases, better than the loss of an involved dad or mom. Kids of all ages are deeply, permanently wounded by divorce. Isn't that true? Am I missing something? I don't recommend you stay in a bad marriage, I'll say. I recommend for the sake of the children especially, you work on it and you improve it. Why are the only 2 choices you're giving me, sir or ma'am? I've had plenty of ladies say it too. Either staying in this horrible marriage, which in fact does hurt the kids, I'm not doubting that, or the other alternative is to leave and divorce, which really wounds your kids. Isn't there a third option? Working on the marriage with someone with God's help who knows what they're doing, that will help you get through? That's the option. They don't want that option. It's the only option God gives you. If we had the time, we don't. I would have those of you whose parents have gotten divorced come up here. And if we were honest, we were locking arms, we were a body of Christ earlier, locking arms, praying for the persecuted church, you would come up here, I'd give you a few minutes, we could be here 3 hours, because you'd tell the truth about what it's like when your parents divorce, wouldn't you? And it's awful. Life goes on, God is gracious, he protects you, he blesses you, but there's a price to pay, you see. Stupid excuse number 9. Now there's some truth to this one, but you gotta be able to handle it in a certain way. Here's the person who's been a good Christian and has put up with a lot of abuse and mistreatment, poor parenting or poor husbanding and parenting by their spouse, 15, 20, 20 years, and they're just tired, but they haven't spoken up, they haven't really done anything about it. And so now they're done, like hitting a wall. I'm done and I'm out. Again, not a biblical reason. The person will say, for years I've tolerated a lack of love and my needs not being met. Now I'm exhausted and beyond frustration and I'm done. Okay? What they want you to say is, well, I understand that, the abuse, the mistreatment. I think this will be okay. No, unless it rises to the biblical reason, it's not good enough. I would say to them, it's your fault for stuffing your feelings all those years and not expressing those feelings about how unhappy you were. Okay, I want to put it back on them. They think they have an ironclad reason. No, they don't. Now that you finally have your spouse's attention and real change can happen, let's say that's true, you're walking out, give yourself and your spouse a chance and let's see what happens. See, that has to be said. Not easy to say when the person is really in pain and they've lived years this way, but the fact is if you put up with that, that's on you. Raise your hand, speak up. Stupid excuse number 10, we'll close with this one. I hear this every week in my office, 2, 3, 4 times. Both spouses sitting there. One, of course, wants out. The one that wants out will say this, I've fallen in love with someone else. This person is my soulmate. And they believe it. They believe that lie. They would pass a lie detector test. Well, somebody has to have the guts to say, you're out of your mind. Well, that's me. They're paying me for the privilege. They don't want to after this. My response is this, and it should be your response, or something close to it. Try sin mate. You are committing adultery, and God will never bless this sinful, disgusting relationship. If they haven't slammed the door yet, they will hear this next line. If you turn from your skank, dirtball, sleaze, and I use those words, oh, and they hate my gut. I just said soulmate. There's a long way from soulmate to sleaze. Yeah, well, I'm making the trip. If you turn from this horrible person, God will forgive you and help you develop a genuine love with your spouse. I can tell you how many couples I've worked through the process of a fair recovery. Dad and I have done this for years. He taught me much of what I do now. It's facing it. It's healing it. It's stopping the sin. And God will take your marriage to heights you never imagined. It is not something that haunts you forever. Not true. If with his help, you go through the steps. But if you stay fused to this miserable person, this tool of Satan, you're going to be in real trouble. Oh, you can imagine the hatred that I get in the office. Tough. Going to have to deal with it. I'm supporting the other spouse and I'm speaking on God's behalf. Like being a prophet, you got to speak on God's behalf. They'll start to defend this wonderful person. Makes me sick. I got to have a bucket by my chair because it's really tough to take. Oh, you don't understand. This person cares about my family. Are you kidding me? I got 2 questions for you. Number 1, did this skank know that you were married? Well, yeah, of course. Okay, skank! Boom! Did this person know that you have precious kids that are now involved in this divorce? Yeah, of course. Skank! Number 2, 2 strikes. In this case, 3 strikes. No, not true. I got to peel them off with this person. And the person will say, well, I'm involved in this too. Yeah, I know. You're a skank too. I'm sorry. But I don't care about the other person. God doesn't either, in a sense, because they will deal justice with that person. Maybe they'll come to Christ. But we're cutting that person off. You can be totally rehabilitated. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking probably a lot of things right now, but you're thinking, oh, Dave, really? I can't do this. This is what you do. Okay. You're obviously just a mean person. I mean, people can do that are mean. I'm a nice, sweet person. I'm a Christian. I don't think I can. You know what? 2 things. Being a nice, sweet person is wonderful, but it doesn't excuse you from the responsibility of speaking truth. And get this, because you're nice and sweet, you'll have even more impact than I will. They don't see it coming. It's like Mother Teresa kicking in the door with a baseball bat, going, now we're going to talk. Mother Teresa, are you kidding? So you're going to have even more impact. Others, you may be thinking, Dave, look, I'm going to be honest here, my own heart and mind. And maybe those that know you, of course, know this, but there was a time in my life I got divorced and I didn't have a biblical reason. You know what the good news is for you? If you confess that sin before God and say, gosh, it was wrong, he'll forgive you for that totally. Clean the slate. It's not the unpardonable sin. There's some consequences, of course, but God wants to get you through those. What God is concerned about is now. The marriage you're in now or the marriage you're going to be in. Make it permanent. Don't say I do unless you're absolutely sure. No matter what happens, we're going to work through this. And if you're struggling, isn't it worth 5 or 6 sessions with someone like me to help you work through the issues and save your marriage? Of course it is. You spend more time on a pet and money on your pet. Some people, I'll ask them, I had a couple recently, they're getting a divorce, not with my blessing, and we had some difficult sessions because I've excused the sinner who doesn't want to change, and now I'm working with the victim, getting her strong and aggressive, biblically. But he's throwing the whole marriage away with 2 sessions. They have a pet, and pets are important, right? I was going to have a picture of a cute puppy like John did a couple weeks ago, but I don't like dogs, so it wouldn't work. Anyway, so, although that dog was beautiful. Anyway, but we're sitting there, they brought up a pet. They were going through cancer treatments for their pet to the tune of thousands of dollars. I don't say that's wrong. It's your pet. I don't get it because we never had pets growing up. My mother was highly allergic, no pets. I had a duck, and it flew away and broke my heart. So I hate pets, now you see. But I said, you're telling me you're gonna spend $8,000 on your dog? I'm not saying you shouldn't. And you're not gonna spend the same amount of money on your marriage? You've gotta be. Well, no one ever told him that. Nobody in culture is gonna say that. Because the dog is just as important in our society as anything else, any person or a marriage. What? Kidding me? See, truth has to be told. Now, once you've refuted their lies, and you'll find your own way. You might not gonna do it the way I do it. I mean, who would? But that's just me. I blame my mother, frankly, for that. But anyway, long story, because we're very much alike. We speak our minds. Filter was not one of the gifts that God gave me. That's his choice. So, you're gonna find your own way. Any kind of a, I think this is a mistake, marriage is sacred, work on it. Okay, whatever you say can have meaning because they're not gonna hear it, as I said, from anybody else. Once you've refuted the lies, once you've spoken truth, now you say positive things about the marriage. This will stick in their mind. See this happen clinically. It'll happen in your relationships too, just in your realm of influence. This marriage can be saved. No one else is gonna say that. This marriage can be saved. Not, oh, that's hard. I'm so sorry you're getting a divorce. That doesn't help anyone. Until the gavel falls, they're not divorced. I've had couples get divorced, come back and reconcile. Wonderful. So you will say this marriage can be saved. God wants to save your marriage. Put God in there because he's the only one that can do it. God can save your marriage and he wants to save your marriage. Here is the name and number of my church and my pastor, Paul Fair, Dave Dorsey. They'd be happy to talk with you, and they would. Outstanding men of God, pastorally, to meet with you. Can make a huge difference. Here's the name and number of a Christian therapist in this area who specializes in marriage and would be worth a call and to see what can be done. Dave Clark, of course, comes to mind. That's up to you. But anyway.
Amen.
And then you will say, if you're being the right Christian, I will do whatever I can do to help you save your marriage. I'll be available by the phone. I will pray with you. I will encourage. I'll talk to your spouse. I'll be the one in Matthew 18 who says, don't do it. Or may I, if I'm talking to the person who wants a divorce, you'll confront them. But you'll do whatever it takes. Bring them to church. Help pay for some of the expense of counseling. Whatever it takes to save that marriage. It's sacred. So you don't just talk. You actually do as well. So I'll close with this, a rhetorical question. Now you be honest with me in your own hearts and minds. Are you willing to have the guts before God in his power to step up? And when it happens, and it will happen in your lives a number of times, people come to me, of course, I'll see more than you because that's what I do, but in your realm of influence, could happen anywhere, will you have the courage to step up and speak truth, refute lies, and stand for marriage? Because it can make a huge difference. If you're doing that, it will honor God's word, something we all should do. God will bless you for doing it, and God will, through you, save a marriage. And when that happens, it's a wonderful feeling. I get that happen. That happens a lot with me because of what I do, but it could happen for you too. Let's pray. Dear Father, tough message, tough words, but marriage is sacred to you. If we're right about that, and we are because you are, help us all to have the courage, the guts, now with your power, to step forward when it presents itself to speak truth to those who want out of the marriage, Father. And we could save marriages by doing that. In Christ's name, amen.